It's so simple. That sensation, that physical sensation, say of fear, is on your side. Fear is not the enemy. It's a physical tightening. It's stress, it's tension, letting you know that you are misusing your own imagination and terrorizing yourself.
Det här är Human Change med mig, Daniel Magnusson. And I will switch to English because today I have a guest that I'm really happy to have on because, as I said to her, I think she's really a cool lady. and because when I have listened to her in other podcasts, she comes across so wise and also so calm, and as I see, delivering a message, and one message that she told, and I'm when I heard it, I heard something, and then I listened back to it, and it she didn't say actually what I heard, but what I heard in that episode was, your feeling is only telling you how you're feeling, how your thinking feels. And it was like, that was so profound. And it was so fun. I said, oh, I wrote it down. And then I go get back and like, no, she didn't say that, but that's what I heard. But you said something that pointed in the same direction. And
actually, that was a good way of saying what
yeah,
I said.
Yeah. And so today, Mavis Karn, welcome.
Thank you very much.
It's
nice to be here.
Yeah, nice to have you here. And congratulations. you told me you just had a birthday.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. That's what happens when you just keep living. You have birthdays.
Yeah.
They're inevitable, but this is my 82nd birthday, and here I am, alive and upright and hanging out with you.
Yeah, it's amazing. So you have a long story, and so if you're going to tell me and the listeners a little bit with you about your background,
are you interested in knowing how I came across the principles and all of that? Okay.
Yeah.
At the time, which is about 45 years ago now, see, you can say that when you get to be 82, you can say things like 45 years ago. Wow, what a privilege.
Yeah.
Anyway, about 45 years ago, I was working at the time at a runaway shelter for teenagers. And I used to call it an emotional emergency room. It was just, there was this crisis all the time. And not only with teenagers, with the staff. Anyway, it was a little chaotic, but we did good work. But it was exhausting work. I worked in the traditional way of trying to find out what was wrong with everybody and diagnose them and then try and fix them. And since that's impossible, it's really exhausting. So I was, at the time, tired enough of it that I was thinking about what else could I do for a living, and hadn't picked anything yet. But my boss had an invitation to go to a workshop at graduate school at the U, and he couldn't go and wanted to know if I wanted to go instead. And I said yes, and I didn't even know what it was about, but it was 2 days paid work off, and that was good enough for me. So I went, and it turned out to be 3 PhD psychologists that had been spending a bunch of time with a man named Sid Banks. And they were going to tell us what he told them. And a few minutes into the presentation, what I heard was, everything is our thinking. Everything we're experiencing is our thinking. And I thought the top of my head was going to come off, because I knew that was true. I just knew it was true, and I had no idea what to do with it. So I was just spinning, and the whole rest of the time was stories about that and filling it in. But when I left there, I knew that I could not go back to work and work the same way. I couldn't do it. I couldn't take people back into the past. I couldn't diagnose them. I realized that there wasn't anything wrong with anybody. We just didn't know how beautifully we're made, and that we can use our ability to think to create our own experience of life. And that was such an enormous truth to me. But I didn't know how to explain it to anybody else. And when I went back to work, what I decided I had to do is just refer my clients to people that were used to working in the way they were used to be worked with. So I did, long story short, I did that with each family for several weeks. Nobody wanted to take me up on it. I couldn't understand it. I thought, what is the matter with these people? I've told them I learned something that made it impossible for me to work in the same way, but I don't know how to explain what I learned. I wish I did, but I don't. It's all about our thinking, but that's as far as I've gotten. I don't know how to explain it. And they didn't want to take me up on it. I really thought there was something wrong with all of them. I just don't understand that. I found out later, after talking to a couple of them, that they had seen that something had happened to me. And they wanted that, whatever that was. Mm-hmm. And I know now what that is. It's a feeling. It's this beautiful feeling. And so, long story short again, I clumsily, over weeks and months, started, see, there weren't any books about it, so I clumsily kept trying to explain it to people, and they would kind of pull things out of me, and they were all so interested in it. And then I got so I could travel to a couple of workshops, one in Florida, and then go hear Sid out in the West Coast. And I did that more and more and more of that, and got better and better at trying to get it across to people. But the biggest thing that happened was in my own life, that I could hardly wait to get to work. I could hardly wait to do anything. It was just... I was full of energy and full of I want to know more. Tell me more. I want to see more. And it was, I'm used to it now, but I was not used to feeling that way then. I was used to worrying. I was used to regretting. I was used to, feeling overwhelmed and anxious and frustrated and inadequate. And that was my norm. I was used to that, with periodic bursts of joy. Mm. But to have joy kind of become the norm, I could not imagine how that could be, because there were so many things to worry about. But then began working with Joe Bailey at a clinic that he had started for people. And he was a big help to me, because he had learned it earlier than I had, and I learned from him. After several years of us working together, we each went and started our own private practice. And I've been doing that ever since. And working with anybody that has a head. I don't have a specialty. My specialty is, you want to know how you're made? Great, I'll show you. That's it. It's like, and that's led to prison projects and working with athletes and businesses and hospitals, and went to Africa a few times and worked with people in the townships around big cities. And it's just been I just think I won the lottery on jobs that I could talk about the best information I ever got in my life. And in the process of that, I keep learning more myself. I don't learn something different. I just learn the same thing, only deeper and simpler and truer. And to then be able to just get invited to pass that on to people, I mean, and then get paid for it. That's just amazing. That's just amazing. So there you have it. That's what I do.
That's what you do. Yeah. And as what comes really obvious or very clear here is from just 2 days, everything changed, but actually nothing had changed in the outer world.
Not a thing. Yeah. I still hardly had any money. I still was a single mom with 3 kids. My car worked most of the time, but not when I especially wanted it to. It was the same thing was going on.
Yeah.
All of the same things were going on. Except it was a totally different experience.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe I had ever thought there was anything wrong with my clients. I couldn't believe I'd ever had that thought. Because I just saw them as people that had everything they needed. They just didn't know it. They had no idea how magnificently they're made. They had no idea. And that explained everything they thought, everything they did, and the outcomes of everything they thought and everything they did. It's explained everything. I don't think I ever again had a thought like, what's the matter with these people? It's just, there's nothing the matter with them. They're doing the best they can know to do given what they see as possible. They just didn't know what's possible. Neither did I. And it isn't because I was stupid. I just didn't know anybody that knew what I had just learned. I didn't know. That every experience I had was produced by my own thinking. That is a really big thing not to know. That's like not knowing your car has brakes.
Yeah.
That doesn't work well.
Yeah.
I still will. I'll see people on the street or somewhere or other just kind of misbehaving or being rude or unkind or whatever. And where I used to have kind of outraged reactions, it isn't that occasionally I don't slip into one of those, but for the most part, I have compassion. It's like, oh, I remember when I didn't know any better. They just don't know any better. They would never do that if they knew who they were, ever. So the outcome of that, Daniel, is that I never see anybody that has anything wrong with them. But I see people that can prove they have something wrong with them.
Yeah.
It isn't true, but they can prove it.
Yeah. Yeah, and if we don't know that, we will see and take boxes off. Yeah, that's wrong. That's the behavior, and we're doing all that kind of things, and then we believe that there is something actually is wrong, because if we don't understand, and so what comes up for me is like it's having people try to understand how to drive a car and have never done it, no instructions, and trying to take that vehicle forward, but we don't know how.
Yeah, we just know we're gonna die.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, this is not gonna work.
Yeah.
We just think other people that drive, they're different people than we are. They can do that, but we can't do that until we can.
Yeah.
Until we don't even think about it.
Yeah.
It's so simple. It's so simple.
Yeah. And I think that is one of the hardest thing for people to melt and like digest.
Yeah.
Like, because it was the same for me. It's like, it sounds too simple, because we are taught to that we can be complex, but the system is not complex in that way.
It's just profoundly simple, which is why it's hard to see.
Yeah.
Because we're trying to see something through our personal intellect, which is very noisy. And it has all these theories and ideas and beliefs and opinions and so forth, and we're trying to see simple through that. That's not possible.
No.
But for instance, the way you're sitting right now, or the way I'm sitting right now, if we sit this way too long, we'll feel a little discomfort and we'll shift. We won't sit there until somebody calls us up and says it's time to shift, or we don't have a timer that says, uh-oh, time to shift now. We just feel it and we know. We feel that. We know the information it's giving us. Yes? Creating our experience works the same way. Our emotions, all of our senses, including our emotions, which are physical sensations brought about by our thinking. So we are always, 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 24/7, feeling our thinking. Whether we're completely joyous and euphoric and calm, or we're angry and frustrated and frightened, it's the same thing. We're feeling our thinking. So we have no emotions that aren't on our side. They are 100% on our side, all the way from our most wonderful warm feelings to our most terrorizing feelings. They're on our side. They're just saying, the way you're feeling right now is your thinking. This is the way it feels to think the way you're thinking. But this is what we want to add. It's none of your business what you were thinking. None of your business. Don't get interested in that, because you'll just keep it going. Well, I'm thinking that because I'm scared of this, and then, by the way, I'm scared of this and this, and then what if this happens? And then you keep feeling the same way. You're piling it on. You're throwing logs on a fire that you wanted to have go out.
putting gasoline on also.
That's right.
Yeah.
So it's so simple. That sensation, that physical sensation, say, of fear,
yep,
is on your side. Fear is not the enemy. It's a physical tightening. It's stress. It's tension, letting you know that you are misusing your own imagination and terrorizing yourself. Now, nobody intends to do that. I mean, who wakes up in the morning and says, you know, I've been feeling too peaceful lately. I think I'll just terrorize myself for a few days. I mean, who does that? Nobody does that. But we do it because we don't know when to trust our thinking and when not to. Our brain is lying to us half the time. Mm. It's just telling us what got put in there. Well, sometimes what got put in there isn't the truth. But if we don't know that that truth feels a whole lot different than belief, then we can believe a lot of things that aren't true.
Yeah. So how would the distinction be? How would you, if I ask you, and I actually do that now, so how can I feel and see the distinction between what actually is true and not true?
By how you feel. Truth doesn't hurt.
Mm.
Truth truly is liberating.
Mm.
And it's a feeling, it's calming, it's clarifying, it's not dense with thought, it just is.
Yeah. Like a lightness in
yeah.
As I heard someone saying, like, if you ask a person who's doing some sport and when they say they are in the zone, how do they feel? It's like nothing. It's like it just is.
It's. When you think about it, the truth of the matter is that all of our emotions are on our side and guiding us away from living from fear and anxiety and insecurity and back home to our natural state of well-being and kindness and generosity and creativity, like we were when we were little kids.
Hmm.
That's amazing that there's a system built into us that lets us know 24/7, all the time, the quality of the experience we're actually creating. You don't have a friend that knows you that well.
No, definitely not.
And you never will.
Yeah.
But your own true divine engineering knows you that well.
Yeah.
So it lets you know instantly the quality of the experience you've created.
Yeah, and like, I really like the way when you say that no feeling and all the feelings are on our side, because it's also like, why would we have these kind of feelings if they didn't serve a purpose?
It's obvious, isn't it?
Yeah.
Of course.
When we reflect on it, but if we don't do it, it's like, oh, I don't want to feel like this. Yeah.
It's just, if we are just, it's just unbelievably how well we're made. Like, for instance, right now you're looking at the screen, right? And so am I. If we turn and we look at something farther away, just with intent, we change the aperture on the lens of our eye. Hmm. What? Who invented that? I mean, we don't have to find a dial someplace and change it. We just, with intent, changed it. Now that, I don't know about you, but that is really a helpful app.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah.
Definitely. So is having your emotions let you know when to trust your thinking or not. Yeah. That is an amazing app.
Yeah, we just need to know it's actually already installed.
Pardon?
Yeah, we just need to know that it's already installed
us. That's it. We don't have to manufacture that or earn it or accomplish it. Mm. It's what we're made of.
Yeah. Yeah, and the because both the psychological is amazing, and then we can just look to our body, as you say, with the eyes, and I, if you have like a splinter from a wood, like if you get a splinter in your finger, and it can be so small, but we really feel it all the time using the finger, and so it's so, I think we can actually see the body as a good function and marvelous, but we forget that the psychological system is, I would say, even greater.
It's just not as seen to us. It's like a splinter, you, even if it's tiny, you can see there's a splinter there that's causing pain. Mm. A thought doesn't have form.
Yeah.
But you can feel it.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Same feedback system works for formless.
Yeah. But we don't see the splinter in our mind.
So, we can feel it though.
Yeah, we can feel it. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's all we need. We wouldn't know the splinter was there usually by looking at it. Yeah. We looked at it because we felt it.
Yeah. And we felt it through our thoughts.
Yeah.
So being afraid and fear and I think at the moment it's a lot of like special times, and it's a lot of, I don't know, it's always been fear, and people are fear of different kind of things, as they say, I'm fear of that, I'm fear of this, and so what is fear? False, what do you say? False, I don't even know the acronyms they say the fear are. Like false events appearing to be real or something like that. I don't know. Yeah.
Well, it's your thought.
Yeah.
It's a sensation that's your thought. And we are a creative bunch of little creatures. We can frighten ourselves about pretty much anything.
Mm.
And like worry is fear. And worry is kind of seen as admirable sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, they worried about me. Isn't that nice?
Mm.
Because people think it's the same as caring.
Mm.
It is not. Worry is frightening ourselves with our own imagination. Sometimes people think it's preventative. Well, if I worry about this, it won't happen.
Yeah.
Or they think it's being responsible. Well, if you don't worry about things, this means you just don't care about them. Mm. You won't get things done if you don't worry about them. But worry is kind of like it's like we all have a toolbox, and then there's one tool in there that's gotten handed down through the family, and it's a big chunk of cast iron. And everybody keeps carrying it around, but nobody ever knows what it's for. Because it doesn't seem to be able to fix anything. But you carry it around all the time. Hmm. Well, because Grandpa did, and Dad did, and now I'm carrying around. It's nothing. It isn't going to fix anything. Take it out, quit carrying it around.
Yeah, but I might need that tool.
Yeah, you never know. Of course, it hasn't been used for 200 years, but you never know.
Yeah.
It's like, but it's so innocent, isn't it?
Yeah.
I know I had a mom. My mom has gone now, but she was an Olympic champ warrior. There was no subject she couldn't frighten herself about. And she thought it was part of her duty to alert us all to these subjects so that we would not die or whatever was going to happen. We didn't know about these things. I was always having to defend myself, at least I felt it did, when I would tell her my plans about something. I could hear this intake of breath, this, and it's like, and then she would tell me all the ways that that plan could go wrong. And had I thought about this and I thought about that, before I knew it, I was kind of afraid to take any risk at all about anything. Now, after a while, when I was maybe around 30 or 30, I started seeing that wasn't... that wasn't a good way to go about things, to think of all the catastrophes that could happen if you did this or you did that, and always being afraid of making a mistake. And when the principles came into my life, it's like I really saw what worry was. It was just a very popular, totally useless tool. And that has been so helpful to me, to catch myself at imagining catastrophes and then feeling as though they're already happening. And when I just catch that and just relax, I get sharper. Everybody does when they calm down. You get smarter. The more you overthink, the dumber you get. That's not speculation. That's just true. So a few months ago, I was going to see my chiropractor in a neighboring state, Wisconsin. He's about an hour away. And in order to get there, I have to go on this two-lane highway. There's just, you know, one car going one way and one going the other. And I was going along, and in front of me, coming at me, were two huge semi-trailer trucks, one on each side of the road, coming my way.
Oh.
And I didn't slow down. I just pulled over onto the shoulder. They roared by me. I pulled back onto the highway. And I thought, what was that? Like, I didn't feel scared or anything. It was just like, what was that? And as I drove along, I thought, oh my God, that's possible. That a human being had a split second to do the only thing that would have worked. It wouldn't have worked to slow down. It wouldn't have worked to stop. It wouldn't have worked to pull to the left. The only possible thing in order to stay alive was to keep at the same speed and go over onto the shoulder. That's it. Hmm. That's it. Now, I don't remember thinking about that. But and that story isn't about me. It's about what's possible for a human being. That in a split second, they can do the only thing that works.
Yeah.
Now, it doesn't mean they're always going to do that. Doesn't mean I'm always going to do that. But my big, the big thought I had when I pulled back onto the highway is, oh, that's possible. That was only a theory before.
Mm.
Now I know.
Mm.
And it just increased tremendously my respect for our divine engineering. Not for me personally, but for how magnificently as human beings are constructed. Blows your mind.
Yeah.
And yet we spend all our time trying to figure out what's wrong with everybody.
Yeah. People what's don't have the instruction manual to the engineering.
Whoa. So let's, you and me and whoever else wants to change their mind about things, let's have conversations about what's right about us. What's magnificent about us. Not in an ego way, but in a, whoa, the universe knows what it's doing kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
How about if we have conversations like that? And when we see anyone, I don't care, color, size, shape, what country they're from, what nothing. What we know about them is that they're made like us. And that is astonishing. And what we know that is that they may or may not know that.
Mm-hmm.
And that explains everything about everything.
Yeah.
That people either know who they are and how they're made, or they have no clue.
Mm-hmm. And then we're back to the simplicity in it.
It's so simple. It's not simplistic. It's just it has a gazillion moving parts that all move in concert without us having to do anything. It's that simple.
Yeah. Same with as like fear. Like, it's like, yeah, it's just your thoughts. That's the only thing.
On your side.
Yeah.
The funny part about this story about the semis is as a little farther down the road, I had to pull over because I started imagining like what would have happened if I wouldn't have done the right thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then I, oh my God. I was scared then and there was nothing to be afraid of.
Yeah.
I had just imagined.
Yeah. Yeah.
And people do that a lot. Maybe they'll do some heroic thing and they'll do something to get out of it or to save somebody that they'd never done before in their life. And they'll talk about it like their mind cleared and they just could see what they needed to do and they did it. They didn't know how to do it, but they did it.
Mm-hmm.
And then afterwards, they'd start imagining what could have happened.
Yeah.
And they get frightened.
Yeah. And that's called shocked. Like you're getting coming into a shock, but the shock is also your thoughts, because that's exactly what you're saying. You start imagining what could happen.
That's right.
Yeah. Or and okay, now what would happen now in the future? Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're amazing. And, you know, my job and yours is to just know that for ourselves and pass it on if people are interested.
Mm.
I add that last part because I used to try to pass it on without asking if they were interested.
Yeah.
It doesn't work very well.
Yeah. Me too, with a shovel.
Yeah, I don't know why I didn't get shot. This is obnoxious. Yeah. But it's that simple.
Yeah. And regarding the worry, about worrying, I had a leadership, like a training for a management team last week. And I was talking about this, of course, and say, okay, but I always worry because I plan all the different kind of scenarios that could actually happen. Okay. But then I let it go, she says.
But then what?
Then I let it go. So she sees all the scenarios, or not the one, but many scenarios of what could happen and stuff like that. But then she's actually letting it go. And I said, yeah, that's another thing. That's not worrying or like, that's like, oh, see possible scenarios, planning, and just having them in mind if it would happen.
Yeah, taking things into account.
Yeah, exactly.
That's different than worry.
Yeah. Exactly. And I usually use a scenario to like, oh yeah, if we would be in the savannah and we're like going there with our spears and then we hear a lion roar, if someone like, oh, it's a lion, we need to be alert and like just be aware it can be a lion here that actually can attack us, and then we keep walking. And one person is just walking and being aware that the lion actually could be here somewhere. So we just need to keep our eyes open and stuff. And the other person is just walking there, stressed, thinking of all the things that actually could happen. Oh, if I die, I cannot bring food and my family would die. And
the lion leaps on me.
Yeah. And as I, and then I asked the question, so in this case, if a lion attacks, who do you think gonna survive? The other one is no, actually, because that's going to happen with the clear head, with the clarity, we will know exactly what to do as you with the truck.
Yeah.
And the other one is, oh!
And we're clear, yeah. When we're clear, we have access to information that we all of us have access to, but when we're overthinking everything, we're making so much racket, we can't hear it. It's kind of like when there's static on your radio.
Mm-hmm.
You don't turn the volume up. you turn the static out.
Yeah.
And what's left is what you wanted to listen to.
Yeah.
We just didn't know we could do that.
Yeah. I like that one. Because it's... And the radios today, they are like automatic following the signals, so they correct themselves. So it's very hard to get that kind of static today. But as we never turn up the volume, we would never do that.
Never. If it's
static. No.
We're so smart when we're not trying to be. We're so creative when we're not trying to be. And being calm isn't something you do. It's what happens from what you quit doing. It's what's left. You just let go of the noise.
Yeah, and like all the I came across the three principles in 2 years now, and I can just see, I think it was in 2019 or something, I did like a meditation program, like sit for 1 hour and meditate in the morning, and then like, yeah, I need to go up early to do that, and it can be nice to meditate. Yes, absolutely. It can be maybe good to, I don't know, let the motor, the brain refresh, I don't know, but it's not needed to be calm. And it became almost like a chore that I, like, yeah, no, I'm going to do this for 30 days. And then like, oh, yeah. I'm so tired, I want to do this. It's like... fell asleep doing it. Probably told me like, yeah, you need to sleep. You don't need to go up 5 o'clock in the morning. But yeah. So I thought I needed to do something to get that feeling, calmness.
One of the places I've done quite a bit of so-called work, I don't call it, I shouldn't call it work, so I work. Anyway,
is play.
With athletes. Yeah, athletes. With individuals and teams. And it's easy to teach the principles to them because they know about the zone. Every athlete describes it pretty much the same way. So their mind is just clear, they're in the moment, and they feel energized and not worrying about anything. Little children are in that most of the time. Can't be that hard. But it's when you use everything you know the way it's meant to be used, but there's no effort.
No.
Because there's no worry. Worry is like putting sand in your gas tank to think it'll run better.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like no checkbox that needs to be checked off to come to peace of mind.
Yeah. Just you'd be smarter in a minute.
Yeah. And then a lot of people, when I'm talking, that I'm coaching and talking to, and can say, yeah, it sounds so easy, but you don't know what I think, or you don't know how it is to be in my world. And I say, of course, I don't know that.
Yeah.
But we function the same. And for me, it's become more and more clear, because I can see for myself. In the beginning, when I heard, came across the understanding of this, is that I got a few points intellectually.
You got what?
I did get a few points intellectually.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, but I guess it's the feeling. I didn't get the feeling.
Right.
Yeah.
Feeling is where you understand. You just know. It doesn't mean you can explain what you know, but you know it.
Mm.
That's truth.
Mm. Yeah. So just keep listening, I guess, mm-hmm. is the best way to and let the inner child, if you're gonna use that term, that we have the curiosity and to let go of everything and just be curious and open up in some kind of way. Because when I did let go of all the comparison with other stuff I learned and what I have read and tried to make sense of everything I heard, I was like, okay. And judging, a lot of judging. Well, I am, this cannot be true. Then when I really let go of that, then things started to happen in mm-hmm. more and more. But I never stopped listening.
There's a way to, you probably already know this, there's a way to listen. It doesn't have anything to do with the content of what anybody's saying. You just listen. Put aside all your arguments and defenses and stories, and you put that all aside, and you just decide you're going to listen to this person until you can feel what's in their heart. And it may or may not have anything to do with what they're saying. And you can do it anywhere.
Mm.
You can be walking around anywhere just listening.
Yeah. It's fun. It's fun. Yeah. To let go of the chatter in the head. Because it's so easy when I listen, I guess for most of the people to just ponder off with the thoughts of something they say or not say, and then suddenly something else pops up, and dinner, we're not gonna eat, and all that kind of things, like pop 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 pop, and but when we let it go and just stop judging and as I say, bring us back to the moment.
Yeah.
Good. So maybe it's anything you would like to end off, like a message you wanna.
Oh, I guess there is one thing I want to say about that is so simple. But sometimes it's clumsy and awkward to be simple when you're used to complicating things. It's not hard to be simple. It's just unfamiliar to us. But that's okay. We learn to walk without any instruction books or classes or anything. We had never, ever, ever taken a step before. And we taught ourselves to walk. Just think of that. That's, whoa. So we may be real used to trusting your intellect and kind of being proud of it, maybe, or a little egotistical about it, but you'll get over it because it'll be more interesting to listen for what you don't know than to prove what you do know. One might be in service of your ego, but the other one is really nourishing.
Thank you, Mavis.
Welcome.
If somebody wants to come in contact with you, what is the best way?
My email is connectwithmaviscarn@gmail.com.
I will put that up in the description of the episode.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you, and I wish you a lovely now.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thank
you. Enjoyed it.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
Take good care.
I will. You too. Tack snälla för att du har lyssnat på den här podcasten. Skulle det vara så att du vill sätta ett betyg för att du lyssnar på iTunes, är du mer än välkommen såklart att gå in och göra det. Sätt det betyg du tycker att den här podcasten förtjänar. Skriv gärna en kommentar. Är det så att du vill komma i kontakt med mig så kan du alltid gå in på humanchange.se eller skicka mig ett mejl på daniel@humanchange.se. Ha det fantastiskt.